Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm very happy to be here with you today. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next hour. And I hope you'll hang out with me because I'm hoping to share something with you that the Lord laid on my heart that I think we all need at some time or another. And so I pray that the Lord will richly bless our time together today, and we will both come away richer. I went through a very trying, tough time a few years ago. I felt absolutely powerless. Everything, there was nothing in my hands that I felt I could do constructively to deal with what was happening in my life and in our family's life. And it was very hard to have any peace of mind. It was very hard to really focus on life in a positive way or in a constructive way. And I want to share with you some things about that. But first of all, are you a person dealing with the same kind of almost hopeless feelings, powerless feelings of situations in your life? And you know, sometimes when I share with you, I'm sure that if you might feel like I'm not facing reality, maybe, because I've learned through a lot of suffering and a lot of challenges in my life where strength and answers and peace and joy come from in the midst of storms. And that's why I'm here. I'm here because I want to help you to not have to go through all those hard learning experiences that I had when I was younger, and perhaps help you to have some peace of mind, because it doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from me. And I want to share with you what I'm talking about. But, you know, so are you a person dealing with a hopeless, powerless situation? Or maybe you're a person who's just kind of coasting along in life. You don't even really know what your gut purpose is in life. Or you have faith, but it almost feels dead to you. It's not vibrant. It's not peaceful. It's not rich and beautiful. It's just there. Or maybe you don't have any faith at all, and you would like to have something that you can count on, that doesn't change with the wind, that gives you roots in life, to where it's a truth that you can depend on. It's not moving all over the place. It's really there for you. So I want to start with a little idea. I don't know if you like to do this or you even have the chance to do this, but in the spring and summer, I have a garden, and it's a joy, but it's a lot of work. And some days I wish I didn't have a garden because I have so many things to do. But a garden can be very therapeutic. And you have to prepare that garden before you ever put a plant in it. if you know what you're doing and if you want to have, you know, good tomatoes, beautiful flowers, herbs, other edible things, as well as flowers. And, you know, I like the natural flowers, the wild flowers that grow here naturally. They have a tendency to be a little more durable. But anyway, when I was preparing the soil of my garden this year, the first thing I had to do was take all the weeds out of it from over the winter, because even in the winter time, when everything seems to be dead, the weeds are not dead. They're alive and thriving in many ways, and they really, when the weather gets a little bit warmer, boom, they really take off. So you have to catch them early in the spring, which most of the time I don't, because I have a very busy schedule, but it works out pretty well. And then you have to amend the soil. You have to, you know, turn it over, and you have to, you know, put in fertilizers or cow manure or whatever. And you peat moss, whatever your particular plants that you're planting in there need for the soil to carry it through the summer. You also sometimes, depending on what you're growing, you have to rotate the crop, so to speak. If you go out to Lancaster County or near any farms, you will see that they rotate the crops. And we all learned in school that you have to rotate the crops, because if you grow corn or tomatoes or anything like that in the same soil over and over and over again, it depletes all the nutrients in the soil that pertain to that plant, and you really lose in the long run. So you let it go fallow, you let the soil not be used for a year or however long you've determined it to be best for your crop, and then you come back to it later. You just move it around. And sometimes you can plant a different crop in there. Say you're growing corn, and you plant a different crop in it the next year, and you know, it just turns over and replenishes itself. But you have to have fertilizers and things like that. And if you don't prepare the bed, the garden bed, before you plant anything, you're going to get very little or not as good produce from it, or flowers, either thing. It's just not going to be good. So the same thing goes with potted plants. You know, bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. But in pots, plants in pots are even worse. They deplete, really, every year, the nutrients in the soil that's in the pot. So you really should take all the old plants out, the old soil out, and replenish it every year. And whatever's appropriate for the plant that you're planting. In other words, you wouldn't want to plant your herbs and veggies in orchid mix. Okay? Not going to work. Not going to work. Orchid mix is not even really a soil. It's a potting medium that you put orchids in that allows them to grow, and it's not compact. So basically, you have to have the right soil, and you have to have soil that's prepared. This is the science of gardening. The science of gardening, okay? Well, Jesus teaches us the science of gardening the soul. The soul. And I'll tell you, you may not fully realize it, but God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, here to earth, fully God, but also in a human body, fully human, to teach us the way to live that's going to make us the most fulfilled, the most constructively joyful, and everything. It's the way to live. And so he taught us through scripture, all these different lessons. And so I want to share with you what he says about the science of the soul, the garden of the soul. And you know, it's funny because Saint Teresa of Avila talked about our souls as gardens. And when you first start out tending the garden, it's sometimes you don't have readily have water available, so you have to carry the water yourself. And then as time goes on and you learn more about gardening and you learn how to get water to your garden in a more constructive way, it just gets better and better and better and easier and easier and easier. And so, you'll have to read her talk about the soul as a garden, because it's really beautiful, because she grows your soul like a garden grows. Well, in Jesus also, in this particular story of the gospel, he's trying to teach us how to prepare our soil of our souls and our garden of our souls in a way that's going to really, really, really make a difference in our lives. So I'm going to read to you. This is from Luke 8, the Gospel of Luke in the Bible, chapter 8. And it's, we had it in our Sunday readings not that long ago. And if I'm not remembering incorrectly, it was also in a couple of daily mass readings. But anyway, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen. When a large crowd gathered, with people from one town after another journeying to him, Jesus, he spoke in a parable. This is what he said. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture and roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil. And when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." And I'm going to stop right there for a second. He's telling the people he's teaching, including us today through the gospel, he's telling us, open wide your ears and listen. Pay attention to what I am trying to tell you, because it is all good for you. Okay? So open your ears, open your heart. So anyway, he goes on to say, this is the meaning of the parable. The sower is God. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. In other words, they're the hard-hearted people that hear the word of God, and they close their hearts to him and walk away. They close their hearts to him, his word, his love, and walk away. And their faith does not grow. And he goes on to say, those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in times of trial. These are believers who do not tend the soil of their souls to grow deep roots in the faith, so that they can discover the joy and beauty of being in relationship with him, not just to believe, but to be in relationship with him and to have the strength to endure trials. Because they know who he is. They know who they are. All right. Those, and then he goes on to say, as for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as long as they go along, they are choked by the, As for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. They are those who are too busy, too worried, too obsessed with the good things of the world, while ignoring the Lord and their faith life, their spiritual life. In other words, they're lukewarm. All right. And then he goes on to say, but as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit in abundance. The seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance in abundance. All right. So, let me ask you, are you one, a person who has a hard heart, who just won't let God in? Either you don't believe in him, or you've been hurt in life and you just feel like he hasn't been there for you, and so you've hardened your heart and you've turned away and you just don't want him. You just don't want to listen. Okay? You're a person that the seed fell on the path and it was hard and really couldn't grow. Or are you a person like the rocky ground? You receive these messages from the Lord through scripture, maybe in your prayer life, and they're exciting, they're comforting, and they make you happy, but you don't move into a real relationship from there. You take it on the surface and the roots don't grow that will establish a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is thrilling and peacemaking. You know, it's something real and profound. So you don't have those deep roots. And when a trial comes along, you just kind of throw up your hands, or you might pray for a little bit, but you give up because you don't understand the value of suffering when you're suffering in relationship with him, etc. Or are you a person whose faith has been choked by the anxieties of life, the worries, world events, all of those sort of things that just seem to just overwhelm, and you can't really think straight anymore because you're listening to the news and the family's fighting or whatever's going on in your life, and you just have no peace. But at the same time, you're not really making the efforts that really enrich your relationship with the Lord. You're trying, but you don't even know how. Well, that's what I'm here for, to try to teach you what I learned. Because believe me, I've been there, especially when I was younger and I was living a very worldly life. You know, I thought it was good enough. to read my Bible at night before I went to bed and to pray. But during the day, I was in the world and I was of the world. I loved the Lord, but I was not following him. I was not living according to how you live in order to have a thriving, peaceful, joyful life with him. So I know what I'm talking about. Okay, and so, or are you the person who has opened your heart, has heard the word of God through scripture, in your prayer life, through the teachings of the church, heard that glorious word of God makes your heart sing, you've welcomed it into your heart, you've spent a little bit, and I'm talking a little bit of time with a resource, so to speak, a commentary that tells you more about what you heard and why it's being said like that and what it means to you today, even though it's quoted in sacred scripture. Historically, God's word is alive and powerful and able to do all things. And I know that's true because if you have been going to Mass on a regular basis, church, on a regular basis, you know that when the Word of God is proclaimed at Mass, it depends on what you're going through as to what stands out to you in the Gospel and in the Psalms and in the Old Testament readings. At every Mass, it can really touch your heart based on what you're hearing at the time you're going through something, good and bad, right? So it's alive. It speaks to you in different ways depending on your situation. It's still the truth. It still means the same thing, but something about it really, really stands out for you. So, I want to share with you, there's a wonderful book. It's called Divine Intimacy, and it's by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, OCD. And I opened it this morning. I wasn't going to talk about this today, but I opened it, and he has small chapter. There's chapters for every day of the year, and it's called The Divine Seed. And I started reading it, and I remembered we had studied this gospel not that long ago, and how Jesus is teaching us in that gospel. If you've got the hard heart, if you have shallow roots, if you have anxieties and riches that smother or dry up or destroy your faith, he's saying, here's the way for your faith to grow, for you to get to know me and know that I'm real, to have the grace of God actively working in your life. So when I read this morning, I said, that's it. That's it. We need to know what the Lord is giving to us in these parables because it's for our good. So I'm going to read to you The Divine Seed. If you have this book, it's on page 239. It's Today Jesus, the Divine Sower, comes to scatter the good seed in his vineyard, the church. He wishes to prepare our souls for a new blossoming and growing of grace and virtues. The seed is the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Word in flesh, came to sow this Word in the hearts of us. It is, as it were, a reflection of himself. The divine Word is not a sound which strikes the air and disappears rapidly like our words. It is a supernatural light which reveals the true value of things. It is grace, the source of power and strength to help us live according to the light of God. Thus it is a seed of supernatural life, of holiness, of eternal life. This seed is never sterile in itself. It always has a vital, powerful strength, capable of producing not only some fruits of Christian life, but abundant fruits of holiness. This seed is not entrusted to an inexperienced gardener who, because of his ignorance, might ruin the finest sowing. It's Jesus himself, the Son of God, who is the sower. Then why does the seed not always bring forth the desired fruit? He sows the seed. Why doesn't it always bring forth the desired fruit? Because very often the ground which receives it does not have the necessary qualities. Us. God never stops sowing the seed in the hearts, in our hearts. He invites us, he calls us continually by his light and his appeals. He never ceases giving his grace by means of the scriptures and sacraments. But all this is in vain and fruitless unless we offer God a good ground, that is a heart well prepared and disposed to receive the seeds that he wants to give us. God wills our salvation and our growth in holiness, but he never forces us. He respects our liberty. He respects our free will choices. He doesn't want us to force us to do anything. He offers, it says here, and it's true, he is continually offering and sowing the seeds, eternally sowing seeds in our hearts. So, it's us that reject it or don't prepare the soil or don't open wide our hearts to him. I have to take a break. Please don't go away. You're listening to Rita Halk Lane on In His Sign Catholic Network. I'll be right back.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next half hour. In the last half hour, I was sharing about the parable, about gardening, and about the parable of the sower and the seeds that Jesus taught us. He speaks to the hard-hearted, those who don't have very deep roots in their faith, those who let anxieties and worries choke their faith, and really their relationship with him is really what faith is. And then he also talks about those who have rich soil in their hearts or open to him. They've heard the word of God, they've embraced it and with a generous and good heart, and so therefore they thrive and they produce much fruit. So before I continue with that, I know we're all busy. We're very busy. And a lot of times with the kids going back to school and that sort of thing, September and October can be pretty crazy. But I want to give you a heads up in advance. On October 12th, Monday, October 12th, it's our 15th annual golf tournament, golf outing, our fundraiser. And I just want to, plant the seed in your mind, to come and join us that day. It's a fundraiser. It's a heck of a lot of fun. I've been there a number of times, and I hope to be there this year. But it's interesting how much laughter you hear. Men and women playing golf, but then having dinner together in the evening. There's a raffle, and it's terrific. It's terrific, and you will have a blast. Even if you don't golf, come anyway. Come for the dinner and the raffle. It's a lot of fun. That's Monday, October 12th. And, I forgot the name of the... I will get you the name of the golf course. Old York Road Country Club in Ambler. It's not really that far for anyone in Philly. So anyway, to continue, I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the next half hour. And I shared at the end of the last half hour from Divine Intimacy, the Divine Seed, about, God's word is alive and active, and it's not a sound which strikes the air and disappears like the words of our words. It's imbued with supernatural light. God's word is supernatural, filled with the Spirit of God, so it's alive and living and can change things and people. So when we open our hearts, we prepare our hearts to receive Him, we're willing to receive His word, listen to it, ponder it, then our relationship with Him grows. So I'm going to continue with that. And this is one of my favorite books in all the world, The Better Part, A Christ-Centered Resource for Personal Prayer by Father John Bartunek. You probably know he was the priest who was the consultant on the Passion of the Christ movie for scriptural accuracy, etc. But this is all four Gospels in a way that where he can lead you into understanding these parables, understanding what Jesus said, what happened with his disciples, etc. It's really a marvelous, marvelous resource. But I'm going to read, bear with me, I'm going to read some of it to you. Jesus is humble. He has all knowledge and all power, and he wants to give us a share for our own happiness and salvation. But he constantly shows an attentive respect for our freedom. The gospel passage that I read to you before illustrates this respect in two ways. First, St. Luke has Jesus start using parables. A parable represents a truth in clarity, but leaves it up to the listener to apply that truth to his own life. Jesus wants us to do this, saying, when he says, listen, anyone who has ears to hear. In other words, are your ears open? Are you willing to hear the word that he's trying to give you? At the same time, he knows that many who hear him are so attached to their own ideas and ways of living that they are not really looking for wisdom, and so they will not search the parable for how it applies to their lives. They may see but not perceive, listen but not understand. If Jesus had taught more directly, those who were eager to learn would have assimilated it less completely, because when we have to make an effort to understand, we learn more deeply. When we have to make an effort to understand, we learn more deeply. We listen more. We search more. It's important to us. and those who were just hanging around to see the show would have been immediately turned off, losing even the small chance they had of getting hit by a stray spark of grace. In other words, they wanted miracles, and they wanted God to do all the work, and if he wasn't doing all the work, then they didn't want it. All right. Second, the parable itself reveals God's astonishing way of salvation. His grace is the seed, and our souls are the soil. Without the soil, the seed is completely useless. Without our open souls, prepared souls, the seed is useless. But without the seed, the soil is utterly barren. It bears no fruit. Okay, and he says, each is made for each other. God's grace cannot work in our lives unless we receive it with a noble and generous heart, unless we recognize our need for God, even if only in a vague and partial way, and seek his guidance. But no matter how intensely we may be seeking answers and wisdom and meaning, unless God intervenes with his grace, we will remain completely in the dark, like the barren blackness of a lifeless field. How humble the Lord is to enter into an equal partnership with the very sinners who banished his grace from their souls. In other words, Father Brutunic is saying, you know, we have to open. He's constantly, where was it? God never stops sowing the seed in the heart, in our hearts. He invites us. He calls us continually to him. But until our free will cooperates with that and we say, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I've been a Christian all my life. I love you. I want more. Or I don't know you at all, but a friend, or I saw someone praying and I want that. I want that. Or I've been living a pretty superficial faith life and it's not really fulfilling. It gives me no real joy. I want to get right now. I want to get right with you now. Okay. Until we say that, until we cry out to him and say, I want more, please give me more. He is not going to force that on us. And that's what Father Brutunic is saying. How humble the Lord is to enter into an equal partnership with the very sinners who banished his grace from their souls. In other words, those of us who reject him. And sometimes we go along just fine. We're deep in him and everything, and then we move away from him sometimes. And we end up in the desert, and we've blocked the grace that he wants to give us. It's our own doing. He's always there willing to give us what we want to the degree that we can handle it. So, he wants our cooperation. He wants that relationship. No forcing. No forcing. And Father Brutini goes on to say, God always supplies his grace. He always does his part in our spiritual lives. He always does his part in our spiritual lives. We can count on it. You can take it to the bank. All right? But we don't always do our part. We don't. We don't always do our part. Our attitude towards God's will determines the fate of his grace. If we are noble and generous with him, his grace will have plenty of room to fill our lives with the fruits of holiness and happiness. If we give up when God's will requires us to persevere through tough times, his grace will wither if we give up. We're rejecting it. We don't even realize it sometimes. We're rejecting it. It's the grace he wants to give us when we give up and turn away. If we try to two-time God in the world, In other words, juggle him a little, juggle the world a little. As if the cares and pleasures of life on earth were in equal footing with our friendship with Christ, his grace will be sterile. That's what he was talking about. That's what scripture was talking about. When the anxieties, riches, and pleasures of life, you get caught up in it. You have faith, but you get caught up in that, and you're not growing in your relationship with the Lord, and you just won't be fruitful, and you won't have the fruits of the Holy Spirit to the degree that God wants to give them to you either. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. So he says, unless we make God's will, especially as discerned in our conscience and through church teachings, our highest priority, if we don't make God's will our highest priority, what he wants from us in our relationship, to have a relationship with him and to be the person he created us to be, so it frees him up to give us all of these tremendous graces. This is not fiction, folks. This is him telling us in these parables, this is what makes life worth living, gives us purpose, gives us peace in the middle of the storms, etc. And Father goes on to say, if we don't make his will our highest priority, we aren't really letting God be God, letting God be God in our lives. And so he can't make our life what he created it to be. We are putting up barriers, not him. We are putting up the barriers. Open wide your hearts to Christ, Papa John Paul used to say. Open wide your hearts to Christ. Then you will see the things that you've heard about and wondered, well, why don't I have that? It's not that you failed. You just didn't know. You just didn't realize that he respects you so much that you have to tell him, please, let's be together here. Let's do this together. Make me the person you meant me to be from the very beginning, before I was even conceived in my mother's womb. All right, so I'm going to go on. But the parable has yet another lesson. The first obstacle to God's grace appears to be the devil. Because he does say that some seed fell on the rocky ground, and when it grew, it talks about, you know, Satan comes and steals it away, and it's trampled on the ground, and birds eat it, etc., etc. So the first obstacle to God's grace appears to be the devil, represented by the birds that pick the seed up off the path. Actually, however, the occasion that gives the devil a chance to get in there is this, once again, due to the quality of the soil of the soul, the soil of the soul, the attitudes of our soul. I have to start that again. I'm sorry. Actually, however, the occasion that gives the devil a chance to get in there is once again due to the quality of the soil, the attitudes of our souls. The soil on the path is hardened. The seed can't seek in. This is the superficial soul. The person who never takes time to reflect, to pray, to think deeply, the person who lets himself be distracted from distractions by distractions, as T.S. Eliot put it. In a culture more and more dominated by information and mass media, this is perhaps the greatest danger of all. Ponder that one. In a culture more dominated by information and mass media, this is perhaps the greatest danger of all. The constant flow of images, ideas, opinions, advertisements, chats, noise, music, entertainment, news, and everything else can, if we let it, create such a quantity of traffic in our minds that we become unable to savor the truth, even on the off chance that we recognize it in the midst of the din. The same mind we use all day long, the one we fill with idle chatter and sensationalized news and everything else, that's the same mind we bring to prayer. Unless we put a fence around what we attend to in our minds, unless we practice self-mastery and discipline in our thoughts, the graces God constantly sends us will bounce into the top of the beaten track and sit there, easy pickings for the devil. So, basically what we learn from what Jesus has taught us in this gospel is we need to prepare our souls, the soil of our souls, to receive what he wants to give us. And trust me, I fought tooth and nail for many, many years against preparing that soil in my soul. I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to throw him a bone once in a while, and I don't mean that irreverently. I would throw him a prayer. I would throw him some Bible study. I would do some charity here and there. But it wasn't, more like, life insurance, eternal life insurance, instead of a real relationship. Okay, but he wants that relationship. He says, I came to give them life and to give it abundantly. Not chicken scratch, abundantly. But we have to cooperate with it. Some of us have never heard that. Some of us have never understood that he wants this, a relationship, an intertwining of our souls and our hearts. And if we cooperate with it, we will have it. It's magnificent. So, I wanted to share a little bit more with you, just as with the sacrament of confirmation, where we accept Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, and our life companion. We have to prep the soil of our souls and accept the seeds he offers for a deeper relationship with him, and tend the garden of our souls, providing what is needed for the seeds to not only sprout, but to grow and flourish. Now, how do we do that? How do we prepare our souls? And I'm going to give you, most of you probably do these things, but I want to give you a list. There's multitudes of ways to do this. But I want to give you a list so that maybe you can focus on one of them to begin with, that you haven't been focusing on, or you've lightly focused on it, and maybe there's been a little voice in your mind saying, hey, you need to focus on this a little bit more, but you've been kind of busy, or you've made some attempts and you gave up because it didn't seem to be doing anything. Here they are. First and foremost, to prepare the soil of your soul is a sincere desire to go deeper with the Lord. No more floating around on the surface anymore. Go deep down in with the Lord. A deliberate choice to open our hearts and receive what he already wants to give us to receive. Okay? A sincere desire. Open wide our hearts. Please, Lord, I want you. Okay? Second, prayer and quiet time with the Lord. Make time, even if it's only 15 minutes a day. Because that is where we get to know him personally. It is not just the type of prayer where you say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I need this, this, and this, and this, and my husband needs this, this, and this. So-and-so's sick, so please, you know, heal him and comfort them. Give him good doctors. You know, it's not a litany of needs all the time. That's part of prayer. But there has to be a quiet. There has to be a time when you just curl yourself up in a little quiet nest in your soul and say, Lord, I'm here. I love you. And even if you can't say, I love you, say, I want to love you. I want to trust in you. I want to go deeper with you. And I'm here. I can't stay long, but I'm here and I want to be with you. Sometimes starting out with a prayer and then going quiet works for some people. Sometimes you go quiet first and quiet your soul and open it to the Lord, and then you finish with vocal prayers and petitions for yourself and others. And so, but anyway, that is where you get to know him personally. A lot of grace comes out of prayer as a result of prayer and comes in to your life. And it's not just about wanting things. It's about wanting him. And please, please, please trust me and trust the saints and trust the word of God, Jesus himself, who says, come to me. Come to me. All right. So anyway, then we Catholics, we have the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. I try to go frequently because I have found what grace, incredible grace and peace of mind comes from going to confession. You receive tremendous, tremendous blessings from that. Even though you don't necessarily feel it at the time. Wow. Well, if you keep your eyes open and your heart open after you've gone to confession, you will, if not right away, eventually see the fruits of that sacrament in your life. It's tremendous. It helps us experience him, to hear him, and to receive a clear conscience. How many of us walk around with guilt on our conscience all the time? Even though we have confessed it in our prayer life, it's not the same as the sacrament. We can receive a clear conscience. And then, last but not least, go to church. Go to church. He created the church for you. And receive him in Holy Communion. Receive him in Holy Communion. He created the Holy Eucharist to feed us spiritually and physically, that we may be truly united with him and receive tremendous grace to live our lives and to change and to be better and to love more. And all the things that he has taught us give us the most satisfying life. In the I read this morning in Psalms 5, David said, I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. I, through the greatness of your love, Lord, have access to your house. I will bow down toward your holy sanctuary, filled with awe. I will bow down toward your holy sanctuary, filled with awe. Why do you think we Catholics bow our heads, genuflect when we're at Mass, kneel? It's because it's respect. It is humbling ourselves before God, because we're not God. We might like to think of ourselves as God, but we're not. And we love him. It's a loving respect for him. And so David says, I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. That's us. From the greatness of his love, we have access to his house, and we bow down towards his holy sanctuary, filled with all. So anyway, also we can read and meditate on sacred scriptures of the Bible. I recommend you search out a topic or such as forgiveness, living his way, whatever, or a book of the Bible, and use a resource such as Father Brutunek's book, The Better Part, or a Bible commentary, or there's the Hallow app. There's so many resources out there. And spend time with him. In fact, you could do that at the beginning of your prayer, time with him, and then move into the quiet. But open that heart. Speak, Lord, your daughter is listening. Speak, Lord, your son is listening. Then I highly recommend you read, even if you aren't Catholic, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's what Jesus taught us and why it's important. And all Christians can read it and learn from it. And just a little bit goes a long way, and the growth and fruits are priceless. He says, come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so when you get peace, you will get peace from preparing the soil of your garden and opening wide your heart to Christ. The fruit of this garden primarily is peace. Peace in the midst of storms. Hope. Hope, hope, hope. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on me. Where more peace is in us, more peace is in the world. And I have a little prayer each morning. Lord, I open my heart to you and your holy will today. I choose to try to stay close to you. Help me to do this. Help me to prepare my heart for you. And my ending prayer today is, O Lord, we are here before you. Grant that our hearts may be the good ground, the good soil, ready to receive your divine word. My dear friends, we have an incredible God who wants our friendship, our relationship. Let us not disappoint him and ourselves. Until we are together again, please pray for us. I'm praying for you. God richly bless you in the next week. Take care. Bye-bye.